So let's talk a little bit about the Tony nominations. We want to talk about the LGBTQ angle.
Yeah. Need a man to be seen. Need a man to be seen. Need a man to be heard. Need a man to be heard.
That's about the suffragists who basically suffered quite a lot, actually, to get the vote.
The young are at the gates. The young are at the gates.
It was a very busy season for Broadway openings. It's insane.
Our turn coming through. Me and you, pal, me and you.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Czech court ends surgery prereqs for legal gender change. Gaza war prompts muted pride plans in Tel Aviv. And Broadway beams with queer-connected theater. All that and more this week now that you've found This Way Out.
I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
And I'm Melanie Keller.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 11th, 2024. The Czech Republic's sex reassignment surgery and sterilization prerequisites for legal gender change are at odds with the fundamental right of trans people for the protection of their physical integrity in relation to their human dignity. This according to a constitutional court ruling this week. A trans man who wants to change the female gender he was assigned at birth on his government documents without the forced surgeries won his case. The court's 13-2 ruling gave the Central European Nations Parliament until the middle of next year to enact the legislative changes needed for compliance. The justices gave lawmakers some flexibility in establishing new requirements for legal gender changes. Those can include testimonial support by medical providers, a mandatory waiting period, or additional government paperwork. Czech Human Rights Commissioner Klára Mičková-Larenčková said she was very happy about the court ruling. She wrote, "Congratulations to all transgender people in our country. Today is an important milestone on the road to greater dignity and protection of your rights." The non-governmental organization Transparent is also very happy, but with a caveat. Their Instagram post cautioned, "Now the government has to act."
In Paris, they were chanting, "Anti-patriarchy, anti-capitalism, solidarity with trans people all over the world." Across some 50 cities in France and Belgium, nearly 11,000 progressive members of parliament, trade unionists, and young activists rallied and sat in, brandishing placards demanding health resources for transitions. More than 800 local groups and prominent individuals endorsed the May 5th actions. The outcry was prompted by an attempt by right-wing members of the French Senate to restrict pediatric gender-affirming health care. The legislation denies trans people under the age of 18 access to reversible puberty blockers and hormone therapies. By forcing patients to delay treatment, critics claim that the bill opens the door to restoration of outlawed conversion therapy. The proposal's sponsors deny that. Parliament is scheduled to begin debating the measure on May 28th.
"This is not the time for celebrations," so said Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Huldai when he announced the cancellation of his city's LGBTQ pride parade due to Israel's ongoing war in Gaza. The annual event that regularly draws hundreds of thousands of celebrants is one of the biggest pride festivals in the region. Major queer groups and some high-profile rights leaders agree that the current crisis demands that the planned June 7th celebration be toned down. Mayor Huldai balanced respect for the hostages being held captive by Hamas and the continuing struggle for LGBTQ human rights in his May 8th announcement. He declared on the platform everyone but Elon Musk calls Twitter, "In coordination with the organizations of the gay community, we decided that this year, instead of the Pride Parade, we will hold a rally in Tel Aviv, Yafo, as a sign of pride, hope, and freedom."
Be prepared for the high-pitched howls of the rabid right wing. The Boy Scouts of America is rebranding itself as Scouting America. The BSA has actually been on the outs with conservatives since May 2014, when mounting pressure finally persuaded it to open its ranks to openly queer members and leaders. The venerable male youth organization also began welcoming girls and transgender boys in 2017. Membership in the Boy Scouts of America topped almost 5 million in 1972. It fell significantly from more than 2 million in 2018 amidst the avalanche of thousands of sexual abuse claims that nearly destroyed the 114-year-old U.S. institution. COVID lockdowns also took a toll. Now emerging from bankruptcy protection, what will become Scouting America today serves slightly more than a million teens. That includes more than 176,000 girls, more than 6,000 of whom have progressed to the celebrated rank of Eagle Scout. The May 7th media release explained that the name change was to ensure that everyone feels welcome in Scouting. President and CEO Roger Krone revealed the name change at a national meeting in Florida. It becomes official in February. Krone emphasized, "Our mission remains unchanged. We are committed to teaching young people to be prepared." Republican Congressmember Andrew Clyde of Georgia refuses to take the new pledge. In predictable far-right style, he lamented, "The left has now taken boy out of Boy Scouts. Wokeness destroys everything it touches."
South Carolina's young trans people are about to lose their gender-affirming health care. Republican Governor Henry McMaster is expected to sign a bill approved by the Republican-majority state legislature this week. Patients under the age of 18 being treated with puberty blockers and hormone therapies prior to August 1st will be required to taper off. The exceptionally rare pediatric surgery and all other gender-affirming treatment must end by January 31st. The measure also bans public funding for directly or indirectly paying for any gender-affirming care. That will limit access to treatment by transgender adults in South Carolina who use Medicaid to offset their health care costs, according to some equality activists. It also seems to run afoul of a regional federal appeals court decision in April that state health care plans and government underwritten insurance programs must cover gender-affirming medical care. Catherine Oakley of the Human Rights Campaign calls it a major violation of South Carolinians' liberty. In her words, "South Carolina legislators abused their power by substituting their judgment for that of parents, medical professionals, mental health care professionals, and other experts."
Mississippi's Republican legislative majority beat the clock this week to define gender as the sex assigned at birth. The bill they passed bans trans people from using sex-segregated public bathrooms that match their gender identity. It also requires the buildings at all public educational institutions to have single-gender bathrooms and changing rooms, including dormitories and other student housing. This bathroom ban was thought to have died along with another anti-trans bill last week. Republican lawmakers had failed to reconcile the slightly different versions passed in the House and Senate before the four-month legislative session ended. Right-wing groups and high-profile conservatives apparently pressured them for a settlement before time ran out. Republican Governor Tate Reeves is expected to sign Mississippi's latest anti-trans bill as enthusiastically as he signed two earlier measures. One to ban trans girls from competing in female school sports, and another to deny gender-affirming health care to trans patients under the age of 18.
Finally, the Rhode Island State Senate wants to protect medical professionals who provide gender-affirming health care and abortion services. A bill it passed on May 9th would shield licensed medical providers from being prosecuted by officials in other states that frown upon those forms of health care. Providers would be allowed to ignore out-of-state demands for patient information and other documents, even if they are subpoenaed. In a democratically dominated state, the Senate vote was lopsided 29-7, and the state House is expected to follow suit. Democratic Governor Dan McKee is likely to sign it. Nearby Connecticut and Massachusetts each have similar laws. The Movement Advancement Project counts 10 other states with those protections. The Rhode Island chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics summed up widespread approval for the measure from professional medical organizations. Its statement read, "Out-of-state laws banning access to essential medical care take away people's freedom to make important medical decisions for themselves and their families, informed by guidance from trusted providers, and replaces it with the wishes of politicians. That's not the Rhode Island way."
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending May 11th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Melanie Keller. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
So the moral is, store jewels all over the world.
The jewels of the Great White Way. But first, comedian Dana Goldberg has some wise words about some little words.
Oh, and these people that are like, I can't use they, them pronouns for a singular person. Get the hell out of here. You've been doing this your entire life. Wait, how many of us, when someone left their phone, was like, oh, someone left their phone on the table? Someone left their phone. None of us are like, oh, dear, someone left his or her phone on the table. These people, it's not proper grammar. I'm like, you don't know the difference between there, and there. And your breath smells like ivermectin.
No one else can decide how you feel inside. She, he, they, what pronouns do you use?
Come on to the theater. I'm diddly-dee. An actor's life for me. A high silk hat and a silver cane. A watch of gold with a diamond chain. I'm diddly-day. An actor's life is gay. It's great to be a celebrity. An actor's life for me.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out does as well. Right here on this station.
Broadway's 2023-24 season is full of queer gems. Gay USA's Andy Hom and guest host Maren Johns take us on a tour with an eye to the LGBTQ Tony nominees, and we add some examples to their astute reviews.
Another opening, another opening, another opening, another show.
It was a very busy season for Broadway openings. It's insane.
It's insane. Every night.
You have to go to the theater every night, yeah, and sometimes twice a day to keep up, because they want to open all the shows in advance of the Tony nominations, which we're going to tell you about.
Need a man to be seen.
Need a man to be seen.
Need a man to be heard.
Let's talk about Suffs.
Oh, my favorite.
On Broadway. Your favorite.
I loved it. Look, I went into this with very low expectations because I've seen so many boring and bad and so many kind of narratives around this period of history. It's never been sold to me.
What's it about?
Even though I'm a feminist. It's about the suffragists who basically, suffered quite a lot, actually, to get the vote. To get it to happen, it took years, 7-8 years or something.
Oh, it took forever. They started the movement in the 19th century.
Even that, as I pitched that to you, it sounds so boring. This show, you have to see it. It is not a lecture. It is one of the better musicals this season. The songs are hummable. I really love the songs.
So
it's written by
Shana Taub. She wrote the musical, and she stars as the young...
As Alice Paul.
As the young suffragist. And it boasts Hillary Clinton as a producer. It's got an all-woman cast. including Grace McLean, who plays Woodrow Wilson as a ninny, basically, right? I mean, this is Woodrow Wilson. I mean, it's just silly.
I mean, he was a racist dog.
I mean, I wasn't crazy about that presentation. But it gives Ida B. Wells, the black suffragist, her voice through Nikki James, full of stirring anthems and really important history. Now, the older establishment suffragists, Carrie Chapman Catt and Molly Hay, were played by Jenna Colella.
Jenna Colella, terrific performance.
And J.G. McApee.
McApee, yes.
Yes, as a lesbian couple, as they were.
Yeah.
Calm down, Carrie. But this girl, this Alice Paul, what gall to call me an old fogey? Since when am I an old fogey? She thinks I'm obsolete. She ought to kiss my feet. I lit the way for her, but no, she thinks she knows better.
We don't know what the sexuality of Alice Paul exactly is. I feel she was probably queer or bi, but Shana definitely skirts around her identity a little bit. There's a sort of a very vague boyfriend in the background. That was my only criticism. But basically, look, a shout out to Lee Silverman's direction. It is pacey, it's imaginative, it's crisp. It gets every cast member to have their moment in the limelight. Terrific, I thought, direction.
Deals with the race issue and everything else, because obviously, you know, I mean, this takes place from 1913 to 1920 when it was finally passed. And these young activists are the ones who want to get radical, who want to protest at the White House. And I believe they say in the play, this was the first March on Washington.
It really was.
Hundreds of hooligans spit and cheer, grabbing my hair, smacking my rear. Will we make it down the avenue in one piece?
There are more of us than them. I say we plow forward, offense, not defense. Follow Inez.
Give him hell.
Get back.
Get back.
Make way.
Make way.
Not stopping us today.
Not today.
Get back.
Get back.
Step aside.
Step aside.
Don't let you break our stride.
You know, and look, we all need to be a little bit schooled. One of the highlights of the play is when she gets on the horse, the white horse, and she's looking like a Valkyrie. And I said to myself, oh, I bet that never happened. I bet that's artistic license.
Oh, it
well,
did.
What do you know? It happened. I mean, we do need to learn this history.
Don't you carry nothing that might be a load. Come on, ease on down the road.
I didn't love The Wiz. I'd never seen the stage show from, you know, decades ago. But it's sort of Soul Train meets Vegas. But it does have out pansexual Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady.
You know, in the title role, and a supporting cast of good singers and dancers. Terrific voices. But the show, And then finally, the gayest play of the week was Mother Play by Paula Vogel, out lesbian, right? Who did How I Learned to Drive, won the Pulitzer Prize. So this is a memory play about growing up from the 60s on to the present day with a gay older brother, played by Jim Parsons, who's out gay, and a cool but poor and very difficult mother, Jessica Lange. And Vogel's stand-in, who's called Ruth, is played by Celia Keenan Bolger. All of these players were nominated for Tonys, which we're going to talk about. And as I said, it's the gayest play. It deals with issues about coming out in families in that era that have not changed much in many parts of the country. And for such serious issues, also including alcoholism and poverty, it's a very light play that elicited a lot of laughter. I was kind of a little uncomfortable with some of the laughter because it played on, you know, all the jokes about having gay children and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, The Mother Play, it's one of the big hits of the season.
I haven't seen it, but I was expecting something, I suppose, a bit more Tennessee Williams. I mean, Jessica Lange has such stature as a performer that...
She's a huge hit in this, and she is nominated for Best Actress in a Play. And this is, you know, one of the most nominated plays that they have. So let's talk a little bit about the Tony nominations. We want to talk about the LGBTQ angles, as we just did with Paula Vogel's Mother Play. And again, out Jim Parsons also got a nod for Best Featured Actor in a Play. Joshua Harmon, who's out gay. Now, it was not a gay play, but this is called Prayer for the French Republic, found a very timely thing about anti-Semitism in France in 2016.
So you're not a lesbian?
No. I mean, if I met the right girl.
So you're maybe a lesbian?
You want to move?
I want to move to Israel.
Okay, great choice. Endless beach with no ocean.
I am tired of praying for someone else to protect me, and to be totally honest, I don't think it's working.
Mm-hmm. It's not running anymore.
I enjoyed it.
You did?
I did enjoy it,
It's a good play.
Yeah.
And then for Best Play Revival, Appropriate by the out gay playwright, black playwright, Brandon Jacob Jenkins, starring out Sarah Paulson, who was nominated for Best Actress in a Play. You saw it?
I think it's the first, it's her first nomination, isn't
really?
It? I think it might be, but that would surprise me because she's terrific on stage.
Well, I mean, Daniel Radcliffe, who's not gay, got his first nomination for supporting player in a musical for
Merrily
We Roll Along. And, of course, Merrily We Roll Along by the late gay composer Stephen Sondheim was nominated for Best Musical Revival. And it also got nominations for Jonathan Groff, who's out gay, for Best Lead, and for Lindsay Mendez, who was also in the cast.
It's our time, breathe it in. Worlds to change and worlds to win. Our turn coming through. Me and you, pal, me and you.
Years from now, we'll remember and we'll come back
by the rooftop and hang a plaque. This is where we began.
And then the very small thing, Water for Elephants. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay. It got a nomination for Book of a Musical, which was by Rick Elise, who was an out gay man. Yeah.
And have you met our great ringmaster? Quite as threatening as he's dapper. Holds the ring inside his palm. Wields the whip to drive it on. Even he is not absolved of the carnival's cardinal fraud.
I'm really happy for Eden Espinosa for Olympica, because she plays this sort of forgotten. I had never forgotten about her, because I when I was coming out, I had to find every woman in history that was even remotely queer and read every book.
We never reviewed Olympica here because we didn't see it.
So I can give it a little bit of
a
review.
It's a big
now.
Lesbian thing.
It is. It's about the life of Tamara de Olympica, who is a kind of Gatsby-era jazz age painter who was very influenced by the Cubists, and she painted these fabulous sort of monolithic images of women. I think Madonna's a big collector, one of the biggest collectors of her work.
Woman is plain, lined form. Woman is plain, color, light. Woman is speed, green, shattered. Woman is powerful.
The musical basically argues that these images help create the modern woman. And I think that's a little bit of a long bow to draw, but nevertheless, I did enjoy this musical. Lots of Russians and Poles in the audience, because she was, of course, Polish, but she had jewels squirreled away all over the world, and she was able to sustain herself. She had a sort of a Garbo-esque quality, woman of intrigue, but she had lovers of both sexes, and she painted all these women that kind of became iconic.
So the moral is store jewels all over the world.
Well, the moral is, one of the things I think that is confusing about the book to this play is I'm not sure it knows what it wants to say. It wants to say that Lempicka was a great feminist, but I'm not sure she was. I think she was a great survivor, and those two things are not necessarily the same.
Well, if you want to see great feminists, go back to Suffs. On Broadway, that musical. And again, it shows the strain between the young guard and the old guard. In the, you know, there's an old guard that wants to just have tea with President Wilson and politely ask for
the
these
vote,
things.
Yeah.
Though not a word was spoken, our volume only grew. As winter turned to spring, we never left the avenue. The young are at the gates. The young are at the gates. Silent and delirious, the young are at the gates. The young are at the gates.
The young are at the gates.
The young are at the gates.
But at one point, I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, at one point, as in England, these women got arrested for protesting outside the White House and force-fed in prison.
Locked up. They threatened them with a mental institution. I mean, and honestly, at that point in history, they would have just thrown away the key. Those women would never have been able to get out. But look, it was moving. I found that production to be very fun. And the songs, I can remember at least three or four of the songs. A lot of musicals, I don't remember one song.
I mean, you will come out of The Wiz humming Ease On Down the Road.
Oh, yeah, that's true, of course. But that's, I mean... shout out to there's a performer called Amber Iman, who is a woman of color who plays the composite character in Lempicka of all Lempicka's female lovers. Now, I'm not sure it works as a device, but nevertheless, I was incredibly grateful to this performer. She blows the roof off the theater. She's the best, so maybe she'll win.
Morning light, hard and bright and clear. Watching the world you see come into shape on the canvas. The way you look at me, can I escape from the canvas? Colors hard and bright and clear.
Now, some of these shows, I mean, we talk about theater on Broadway, but these shows also hit the road, and they're touring productions of them. So you may see them here, there, and everywhere around
the
country.
Yeah, and I like to think sometimes theater is a little bit of a litmus text for how the zeitgeist is dealing with certain issues at certain times, and I think it's often quite useful to see what are the themes hitting Broadway and off-Broadway. What's happening? What do people think is worth millions of dollars in production values?
Come on, keep marching, marching, marching.
Thanks to Andy Hum and Maren Johns of Gay USA at gayusatv.org. The 77th Annual Tony Awards will be given out on June 16th. Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. NewsWrap was reported this week by Michael Taylor Gray and Melanie Keller and produced by Brian DeShazer. Thanks to Andy Hum and Maren Johns of Gay USA TV. You heard comedian Dana Goldberg and music by the Star Wars Cantina Band and Kerry Ferguson. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Yavanna Foundation and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on WBDY Binghamton, New York, KEOS College Station, Texas, CJLY Slocum Valley, British Columbia, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.